The Desolation Angel Radio Podcast is on the air. The date is October 9th, 2022. And listeners, human beings out there, you're in for a treat. You're in for something that has been a long time coming. Somebody said to me, where did the show come from? And more importantly, where did you come from, Kip? Because you're not like anyone else I've ever met. And there's a story behind that. There's a confluence of events occurring in my life right now. The Heron is done for the season. For those who listen and know that every summer from May to October, I work there, and a lot of my shows are centered around the bands that we show there. I'm back into my regular schedule of music, which is very different than what you hear out there. Because I have tastes that definitely don't fit my age. But sometimes that gets very narrow and has gotten very narrow. I am coming to the end of an era in my life. In a little over 30 days, I turn 65. I was born November 21st, 1957. We'll get into that. There's a whole story behind things, a project that I was part of here in New York State to try and help the people of New York State came to an end, where I was part of the task force that was tackling COVID-19. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of things. I'm settling into a different phase of my life. I'm actually involved with somebody else again, someone whom I love very much. And that's a story in and of itself. But the other part of it is talking to people that I'm still friends with, by the way, that I went to high school with, that I've known back to when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, who are still a part of my life and still friends with me, who know parts of the story, have said, Kip, the story needs to be told, because somebody asked me one time, where did this show come from? How did this show evolve? And it's a good question, because it's been on the air 10 years. It has, 10 years. I started doing podcasts back before podcasts were cool. I really did. And I'm looking up some stats now. So, but the point is this, is that at some point along the road in who Kip is and in where Kip came from, a lot of things that most people wouldn't believe happened. And so that being the case, I mean, if we're looking at, I mean, I've got 30,000 listeners. That's what I've got. I've got 30,000 listeners. That's not bad in this day and age of competing podcasts. I can live with it. I have listeners all over the world, the United States, Canada, but Japan, Germany. I've even got listeners on occasion in Australia and over in the Far East, but all the way through Europe, all the way through Canada and the United States, I have regular subscribers. So how did this show, how did I wind up with international distribution, with a set of solid listeners every week that I can count on? That's the 30,000 I can count on. Plus, there's more beyond that that might tune in for just a show or a show or two. How did this kid from Kalamazoo, Michigan, who grew up the way I grew up, wind up where I'm at now with a lot of the things I do? How did I wind up with a podcast that's been on the air 10 years and a go-to person for people who want to do interviews with or distribute songs with? How did I wind up at the head of that task force? How did I wind up with so many incredible, unique human beings in my life? And it's a story that deserves to be told. So it's going to be told. It was pretty daunting when I sat down and started to write it out and looked at it where, I don't think anybody wants to listen to a 6-8 hour retelling of it, because it's not just my voice. Then when I say confluence of events, a couple things came together as well. Nicole was here from Chicago, and she was in Buffalo. Yes, we have a long-distance relationship that we make work, people. But she was here, and we sat down to watch the new version of West Side Story. And I found myself sobbing in the middle of that because I grew up with musicals. And that particular one, West Side Story, impacted me my entire life. I can still hear the whole soundtrack in my head. So it's not just rock and roll for me. It's things like musicals, like West Side Story or Rent or A Chorus Line or Hamilton or The Music Man or Hello Dolly. It's about pop culture. You're going to hear a lot of pop culture in here. It's snippets of dialogue from different things that have impacted me. And you're going to hear a lot of music. So how did we get from that kid who was born in Borges Hospital, Kalamazoo, Michigan, to the guy who's about to play the two cuts I'm about to play? And we'll tell some of that story. And I'm going to do it in snippets. You'll get a show every day of a half hour, 45 minutes, so that it doesn't, you know, really wear on people too much, go over too much. But I promise, because there's going to be some dark parts in it as well. You're talking in me with someone who has been clean and sober 41 years. And as I see more and more people at the end of the pandemic trying to get cleaned up and get sober, that's a story that needs to be told and that deserves to be told. You're talking about somebody who is a security expert, a risk analysis expert, a risk assessment expert, a threat assessment and threat mitigation expert. That's what I consult on and do for a living. That actually does it. There actually are such things in the world as troubleshooters and fixers, and I'm one of them. And so how did I wind up there? You know, how did this kid who was born in the suburbs of Kalamazoo in Comstock, Michigan, become that? There's going to be some dark parts to it. I've had to deal with a lot of my own shadows and my own demons and my own flaws. And in doing so, of course, and going through life, I've had some pretty dark things happen. There was a point in time where this show was pretty spotty. 5-6 years ago, I pretty much went off the air for a while. And you are going to get all of the details of that. Who did what? Who did it to me? What happened, the facts, names will be named. So there's some dark parts to it, but I promise if you hang in with me by the time we get to the end, I hope that I will have restored for you some faith, some belief, some faith and belief in human beings, and some faith and belief in music. I mean, people want to know how did the Nomad Project come about? And the Nomad Project, you may have heard of. It's in Buffalo, New York. It's my own private charity and benefit. It's the largest private one in the city. It takes care of places like Haven House, the domestic violence shelter, Compass House, the homeless shelter for LGBTQ youth, the Buffalo City Mission, Cornerstone Manor, the homeless housing spot for women and children, Friends of the Night people, because that's a year-round thing for me. I founded that. It's mine. And I need to own that, and people need to know it and know where that comes from, because that was actually born out of a very dark period of my life. But all the way through everything, it's been the music that sustained me. And sitting there that night with Nicole, watching West Side Story, I realized that she and two other women who are absolute heroes in my life, Paige Olson and Jen Raines, they saved my life. They saved my life. Julie Rockcastle, the fourth name in there, another person who saved my life. The standing joke, of course, is for my all-black-wearing, gravelly-voiced ass that it takes 4 to 5 people to hold my leash and keep me on the porch. But I promise you this, listeners. By the time we get to the end of this, and I don't know how many shows in a row it's going to take, but I'm not going to say, like I say, I'm not going to take up more than, 30, 45 minutes of your time each episode. You'll know the whole story. You'll know everything that really happened instead of instead of rumor and innuendo, or instead of using your own mind, you know, to say, I think I know what happened, which is really good, because any story you've heard about me is probably true. And if anything, it's watered down. I'm a pretty outrageous human being. But I try to do my best to do right and do good in the world. So let's hit these two new releases that to me are two of the most important releases to come out. We'll talk about why, and then we'll start to talk about things all the way back to 1960 some odd, and talk about some of that music and where I came from and how that all influenced me. And we'll talk about things like, hey, you know, musicals and Elvis.
Man, this
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Both of those are new, and they're off new albums. Do I Love You? Indeed I Do. Bruce Springsteen, Only the Strong Survive will come out on November 11th. It is incredibly... I go back with Bruce to 1973, and for those of you, and I know that some of y'all are listening, that we all went to high school together, but you remember the 1973 Kalamazoo Ice Arena concert in the middle of that ice, incredible ice storm, and Bruce Springsteen showed up and made it, you know, and I became a convert right then. And so what he's doing with Only the Strong Survive is there is no original music for those who are Bruce fanatics, and I've seen him on every live tour. Understand that man brought rock and roll to me as a religion. And he did so with the covers he does of R&B numbers, the passion that he puts into it, and because he grew up with those too, and that's all it's going to be. And then the next one you just heard, One Last F.U. is the title, but it's One Last Fuck You. Lucero, off the upcoming Should Have Learned By Now. As a matter of fact, I've got an interview with Ben and the owner of Buffalo Ironworks because Josh finally listened to me, and they are booking Lucero in Buffalo, first time they've ever played here, October 21st, about 2 weeks from now. It will be amazing. It will be absolutely amazing to turn Buffalo on to that band out of Memphis. And of course, for anybody that's followed Lucero from the beginning, punk band, you know, punk ethos and punk sound. And Ben is such an intelligent man. His songwriting is incredible. There was one solo album he did, Last Pale Light in the West, that was based on nothing but Cormac McCarthy novels. A Lucero album that was he's a Civil War historian fanatic, that was based on nothing but the Civil War. Brought horns in and really amped up the Memphis R&B sound. I think they're the best live band in America. And I absolutely love them. I'm a Lucero fanboy. I'm going to be 65 years old, and I'm a Lucero fanboy. And I'm still a Bruce Springsteen fanboy. But those two, and so that generated this whole conversation. It really did, about, you know, who I am and where I come from. And seriously, I was born, and I think about it, my life is marked by events. I was born... Sputnik was launched just before I was born, 1957. I remember, and because of my age, I distinctly remember walking home from Gull Road Elementary the day after my sixth birthday, on November 22nd, 1963, when the whole world changed and John Kennedy was assassinated. I know where I was when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. I was out at Camp Rotokawan, and they brought a Boy Scout camp. They brought a black and white TV in, and we actually watched that at night. We watched that happen. I graduated high school 30 days after Saigon fell, and I remember all of the other things in between. Robert Kennedy assassinated, Dr. King, his assassination in Memphis. I remember Nixon getting on the helicopter. I know exactly where I was. I had come home from work during the Challenger disaster. I know exactly where I was on 9/11. My life, and I know exactly where I was during Katrina. My life has been marked by events, and there's a soundtrack to all of it. If we go back to 1957, and where I was when I was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And Kalamazoo, Michigan is really unique. Especially at that point in time, Kalamazoo was the home to Shakespeare Rods and Reels. Kalamazoo is where Gibson guitars were made for years before they were shipped overseas. That's how you had all those Tennessee woodworkers that came up here. My friend in high school, Jeff Davis, his dad was the head of maintenance at the Gibson Guitar Factory, and my dad owned an electrical contracting company that took jobs there, so I got to go in the Gibson Guitar Factory. Kalamazoo is also home to Stryker Manufacturing. Anyone that's ever worked in a hospital, Stryker beds, Stryker equipment, all came out of Kalamazoo, Michigan, right there. Upjohn's the largest private pharmaceutical manufacturer. And we'll go into that when I became an apprentice electrician and worked out there at that plant. But again, to this day, even after they were bought by Pfizer, that plant still has significant impact in my life. For those who remember when the first COVID-19 vaccines rolled out, they rolled out of that plant in Kalamazoo. I was born to Norm Williams and Jane Williams, her maiden name was Holloway, in Borges Hospital. The exact time I know, and my current girlfriend, Nicole White, says I didn't run screaming when I found out that he was a quintuple Scorpio. He's got five planets in Scorpio. And for anyone that knows me, I act just like that stereotype. I trust me, I do. I fit it. But, oh God, man, there's some stories. But what happened was is my mom, her mother, my grandmother, Gladys Holloway, the oldest of 17, and my great-grandpa, her father, was still alive. And yeah, somebody looked at me one time and said, Irish Catholic? I'm like, no shit, really? But she lived in Bangor, small town over near Lake Michigan, and we would gather there on Sundays for dinner. And I grew up a little different than a lot of the people. I still can tell you what a party line is in a rotary dial phone. We all ate in the kitchen, me and my sister and my cousins. And we couldn't eat until certain jobs were done. Me and my cousin Mark had to make sure that my grandma's lawn was mowed and the widow Annie Taylor, the widow Clementine. And that the gardens were taken care of, like my cousins Kevin and Billy had to make sure that grandma's car, that the oil and gas were good, the water, same for the widow N.A. Taylor's, widow Clementine's. My grandma she owned a diner, and she was the cook for the school system. And if you were a junior varsity football player in Bangor, it was your honor to walk her to games. My other grandparents, Tony and Ethel, they lived out on Crooked Lake, Michigan. Tony had been born in Detroit, hopped a freight at 13 years old because his family couldn't afford to feed him anymore at the height of the Depression, and took care of himself and got to Kalamazoo, wound up the chief accountant and bookkeeper with barely a high school education for a paper company in Kalamazoo. And they lived out on Crooked Lake Delton. I distinctly remember my biggest memory of my grandpa Tony is, of course, he always kept an AM radio going with the voice of Ernie Harwell broadcasting the Detroit Tigers games. My mom was a trained musician in classical music. And I grew up, even with all, and I grew up, my uncle, Ron, who was married to my mom's sister, Velma, he promoted bluegrass shows in Kalamazoo, Michigan. On Saturday nights, you had Remwald's Green Valley Jamboree. Plus, we were exactly situated halfway between Detroit and Chicago and the Gibson Guitar Factory there. You had all this incredible incredible music going on all the time. And I grew up around nothing but music. And rock and roll was only part of it. But I grew up with things like this and which made, you know, the real impact, you know, of growing up there, of course, is when I talk about, you know, I grew up with big band music. My parents had been engaged in Biloxi, Mississippi, and got married in New Orleans. I went to New Orleans on her honeymoon. And that's another whole connection for me that comes on later on in my life where I wound up in New Orleans. But, you know, I grew up around big band music. One of my aunts owned a string of bars on the Red Air Highway towards Chicago. So I grew up with this kind of music. And as I grew up, I will freely admit, I played cornet. I also was one of those kids that, you know, in high school was in drama club and wasn't. Now, music, I actually, before puberty hit, was in an all-state honors choir. Puberty hit and this voice came in, which has since been, over the years, mellowed out with a lot of coffee and cigarettes. But I grew up with big band music. I grew up with, so, you know, how did I get to this guy that loves Bruce Springsteen and Lucero listening to this? You know, and that it, and it's Glenn Miller right there. So, you know, that's the real question, and it's one I have to examine because I had so many different musical influences on me. With my uncle promoting bluegrass shows, I got to see like Del McCrory and, you know, all the original bluegrass players because he promoted horse shows. I had another aunt and uncle that were farmers, so I grew up on a farm in the summer around horses, and they raised big draft workhorses along with cows and learned how to throw hay there. But also as a child, understanding growing up with this.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? Say hello. Would I still see suspicion in your eyes? But here we go again, asking where I've been. You can't see the tears are real, I'm crying. Suspicious minds, and we can build our dreams on suspicious minds. Oh, let our love survive, or dry the tears from your eyes. Let's don't let a good thing die.
Elvis. And there's no way you could be my age and grow up in the Midwest without knowing who Elvis was. Another story about Kalamazoo, my friend Jeff Davis, whose dad was the maintenance head for Gibson Guitar. Jeff wound up being Elvis's last drummer. Let me tell you, I know some stories about Elvis. He told me one time about they were rolling in Hollywood and Red West had to pull Elvis down out of the roof of the window in the roof of the limo because Elvis was pissed that this Mustang was passing him and he was ready to grab that pistol and start firing off. And it's like, nope. You can't do that. So anyhow, what happened was also in growing up surrounded by that much music. And like I say, classical music, my sister is a gymnast and a choreographer, international baton twirling champion and still a coach to this day. I grew up around theater and around music. And like I say, I had this great thing happen the other night where Nicole White, for those who know, but Nicole and I really wanted me to watch this remake of West Side Story. And I clearly remember sitting on my living room floor, going, wow, you know, and really being impacted by it. And to this day, I think that the most incredible combination number, like, where it's the whole cast, that the second version of Tonight, when there's five different groups all singing Tonight, is still the most incredible number in musical theater history. It's just amazing to me.
The Jets are gonna have their day tonight. The Jets are gonna have their way tonight.
The Puerto Ricans grumble, fair fight. But when they start a rumble, we'll rumble them right.
We're gonna hand them a surprise tonight. We're gonna cut them down to size tonight. We said okay, no rumpus, no drinks, but just in case they jump us, we're ready to mix
tonight.
We're gonna rock it tonight. We're gonna jazz it up and have us a ball. They're gonna get it tonight. The more they turn it on, the harder they fall. Well, they began it. Well, they began it. And we're the ones to stop them once and for all.
Tonight, we'll have a private little mix tonight. He'll walk in hot and tired, so what? Don't matter if he's tired, as long as he's hot.
Tonight won't be just any night. Tonight there will be no morning star. Tonight I'll see my love tonight, and for us stars will stop where they are.
The seem like hours, the hours go so slowly, and still the sky is light.
Oh moon, grow bright, and make this endless day, endless night.
Jets are coming out on top tonight. We're gonna watch Bernardo drop tonight. That Puerto Rican punk will go down, and when he's hollering uncle, we'll tear up the town.
We'll be in back of you, boy.
Right.
We're gonna flatten them good.
Right. Warm the tomb.
Sperm the worm.
And then we'll have us a ball tonight.
We're gonna rock it tonight.
Tonight.
Gonna jazz it tonight.
Tonight.
So there's that cultural touchstone, which I think is incredible. And also, when I talked about other influences, I can tell you exactly where I was in the very first episode of Star Trek, The Cage, which just introduced Captain Pike, introduced Captain, you know, James T. Kirk, Spock, Bones. I can tell you I was sitting on the living room floor of the Dunhams. My parents had gone over there for dinner, and I was sitting there with my friend Debbie, and she and I were watching the very first episode of Star Trek. It was amazing. I'm old enough, I can tell you that the very first Star Wars movie was 2 years after I graduated high school, but I stood in line for that. There's so many different touchstones. Kalamazoo was halfway between Detroit and Chicago, and out of Detroit, in terms of music that was on a radio, WKZO, you heard so much that was just incredible. There was so much incredible R&B coming out of there, you know, and it was amazing, because that also influenced, I think, not just me, but a lot of us. But here I am in this household with bluegrass and big band and classical. And here comes R&B out of Detroit. Here comes Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. Here come the Supremes. Here come the Temptations. You know, here comes everything that Berry Gordy could put together and bring to all of us. You know, just amazing stuff. And, you know, it was incredible. And you know, you hear Ain't No Mountain High Enough, and then you hear this, you'd hear Stoned Love, you know. So we had this incredible, because it was hitting, I mean, I realize all of you across the nation were hearing it, but we were getting it fresh, you know, we were only 100 miles from Detroit. And it's pertinent, because it also applies to a lot of the things that I listen to today that have that whole R&B sensibility. But also, by the same token, being in high school in the early 70s, junior high in the late 60s, we all got exposed to people who believed in rock and roll as a way of thinking, a way of being. Thin Lizzy, who I think was one of the best, and they always are called a Brit rock and roll band, but they were an Irish rock and roll band. Phil Lynott got it. The music world misses him. But redid Rosalie and did a lot of things. And I've always said, when you grew up in that era, you were either a Beatles person or a Rolling Stones person. You can guess which one I was. So I became this record-obsessed kid who would hang out at Boogie Records in Kalamazoo. And I still to this day have 3,000 vinyl LPs. I mean, I can tell you who the producer was on all of them, who the session musicians were. I learned then early about people like, the fact that the Stones liked recording at Muscle Shoals, as did Aretha. There's a whole lot of Aretha Franklin that was recorded in Muscle Shoals. And that was Bob Seger you heard before that, who actually, Bob started out playing Burger King parking lots in the back of a trailer for free, trying to get people, to listen. So we're coming to the end of tonight's episode. And we'll do another one tomorrow night, and we'll talk more about where this all came from, because I think my story is kind of universal, and as is the story of the music. And we'll close out with a couple of numbers, but how I got from there to here. And tomorrow night, I'm going to tell you what, right now, all my high school buddies I'm still in touch with, Michael Billingsley and David Wonderland, Steve Schultz, Jack Hunt, Diana Parker, and then my buddies that I made during high school and coming right out. Craig, Metz, Derek, you're all going to be name checked, and we'll talk about that story tomorrow night. But the thing to remember for me is this, and we'll talk about it tomorrow night, is that the other thing that happened was about 1972, One of the Outlaws came out, which exposed me to Willie and Waylon and Chris and Johnny. And I also started getting heavy into jazz at that point in time, thanks to Gil Scott-Heron, and funk because of, people like Sly and the Family Stone, and more R&B with people like Jackie Wilson, the Staple Singers. But we'll hear a lot of those, I'll play a lot of them tomorrow night and name check a lot of people, with that high school era. But again, the story, if I'm going to do it right, takes a few episodes. So what I'm going to do is this. Let's close out with Live Bob Seger, which is close to where I came from and so exemplifies that rock and roll. And tomorrow night we'll explore more R&B, more rock, more Brit rock, because, man, did I get into Brit rock heavy. And I'm not talking Led Zeppelin. I'm talking Humble Pie, Savoy Brown, Long John Baldry, the Yardbirds, all of those people, and rock and roll here, Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and then we'll talk about Prince and David Bowie and all those influences people had back then, Warren Zevon, Chicago, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, how they brought horns in, so it's like Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, and we'll talk about me going all the way to the root source, the blues, Muddy Waters, B.B. King, John Lee Hooker, Nina Simone, Billie Holiday, Howlin' Wolf, Bo Diddley, Big Mama Thornton, some of those people, and we'll talk about more of that this week. But I think my journey is not that different than anybody else's. So Bob Seger's finest, greatest moment with the Silver Bullet Band was recorded in Cobo Hall, which, if you've never been there and weren't there in its heyday, was amazing, in 1976. And it was documented in Live Bullet, and a lot of us were there.
Thank you very much. A couple of songs from a new LP we'd like to do for you now. This first one is called Traveling Man. Up with the sun, gone with the wind. She always said I was lazy. Leaving my home, leaving my friends, running when things get too crazy. Out to the road, out beneath the stars, feeling the breeze, passing the cars. Women have come, women have gone, everyone trying to cage me, yeah. Some were so sweet, I barely got free, others they only enraged me. Sometimes at night, I see their faces, I feel the traces they've left on my soul. And those are the memories that make me a wealthy soul. I tell you, those are the memories that make me a wealthy soul. Traveling man, love when I can. Turn loose my hand, cause I'm going. Yeah.
sailor at sea. Beautiful loser, where you gonna fall when you realize you just don't need it at all? Oh, he's your oldest and your best friend. If you meet him, he'll be there again. He's always willing to be second best. A perfect lodger, a perfect
So faithful listeners, tune in tomorrow night. There'll be another episode, and we'll talk about, again, this music. And I think that my story is universal, and it was shaped by the music that we've all grown up to and grown older to, and the way things worked in that time, in that era. My story personally, it's a story, I think, in the end of hope. And I hope that I restore your hope there. I had my own fall from grace. I've had my own dark moments. There was a moment when I was actually on the floor of my own house with a loaded pistol being held to my head by the police, thanks to someone else's lies. But coming back from all that to lead that task force, to continue this podcast, to continue to be a friend to people, to found the Nomad Project, to help out with, I don't know, I've just become somebody who believes in doing the right thing and that we're at our best when we're helping one another. But it took a journey to get there, and this music talks about all of that. And I have love again in my life. And I never thought that would happen. So it's a journey of hope. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Desolation Angel Radio. I hope this all finds you peaceful and well.